this what we read about the Veda, which is ingrained in creation, I was just reminded of three lines of Savitri. The skillful penman's finger wrote, his swift intuitive calligraphy, earth's forms were made his divine documents. So I suppose this whole story of Brahma's four heads and Veda emerging from each one is essentially the story of creation. These are the truths, essential truths which have been released, and they have gone into creation like a blueprint along which creation should move. And to the discerning eye, to the aspiring mind, it still reveals itself. So it's a writing which can never be effaced, provided we look at things in that way. So we stopped at these lines. That day he had turned from his accustomed paths. So-called seeming chance events, which are actually God's random plan. Time's accidents, God's random plan. We have in mother's own life how her husband came to Pondicherry. It was actually, he may or may not have come. It was not really, if you look at it outwardly, a kind of chance event. Outwardly. Of course, there was a wisdom which was operating. Then after coming here, he shows interest in that. I want to meet some yogi in India. Normally, if before coming, he would have asked, I want to meet a yogi. If that was his quest, people would have sent him to Himalayas. But meeting yogi was secondary. He actually came to Pondicherry to campaign in the elections. And he may not have actually come. There was a plus minus thing. Last moment he came. Then he says, I want to meet if there is any yogi around. So people said, yes, somebody has come from the north seeking refuge, and perhaps he may satisfy you. That's how he met him and took Shobindo's some pictures also he took. But they were of very poor quality. So on seeing them, mother was not convinced at that point of time. She had to actually come and meet him. In the agenda, she says that when she saw those pictures, she says they were of very poor quality. A lot of those days, we can understand. Because she had seen him in the vision. And everything had to come together. Not just a form, but the inner vibration, the inner thing. Everything had to be seen. And when she comes here, we know what happened. That's going to be described subsequently, so let's keep that little bit in suspense. That day he had turned from his accustomed paths for one who, knowing every moment's load, can move in all our studied or careless steps. So there is a wisdom which moves us. When we think that we have lost the way, who knows, we may be finding the way. So that's what we have been several times speaking about. Careless steps had laid the spell of destiny on his feet and drawn him to the forest flowering verge. I know at least quite a few people who have come like that towards Mother and Sri Aurobindo. Careless steps, without really wanting to know about Mother and Sri Aurobindo, they have strayed into a place. And then they saw a nice place, looks nice, and then they asked, or somebody's gaze suddenly falls upon mother's symbol somewhere, and what is it? Oh, this is what I am looking for, and goes there. Otherwise, if that moment the sight had not fallen, destiny would have been different. So how there are constantly that wisdom works through so many ways that we cannot even comprehend. At first, her glance that took life's million shapes impartially to people its treasure house, along with sky and flower and hill and star, dwelt rather on the bright harmonious scene. So first Savitri sees that scene and absorbs everything. It's so beautiful. She just sees that background and takes it inside. It saw the green gold of the slumberous sward, the grasses quivering with the slow wind's tread, the branches haunted by the wild bird's call. awake to nature, vague as yet to life. So there is an occult commerce going on, even in dumb nature, in material nature, which we don't understand, which the flowers, the birds, the bees, they understand very well. That's how they are drawn. It's like an intuition which takes the form of instinct. But to the seer eye, these things become clear. How mother would go and the vegetables would tell her, come, come, take me. Some would say, don't take me. So this is the knowledge which birds instinctively have. They know which ones to go, which one not to go. So there is a kind of transaction which is going on, and Savitri just feels that. The eager prisoner from the infinite, the immortal wrestler in its mortal house, its pride, power, passion of a striving god, it saw this image of veiled deity. This too is the divine, but veiled by forms, appearances. And this is what infinite trying to express himself through form and name, through different colors, use, scents. This thinking master creature of the earth, this last result of the beauty of the stars, but only saw, like fair and common forms, the artist spirit needs not for its work, and puts aside in memory shadowy rooms. So as she sees, she sees lot of images and they are put aside into some subconscious memory. This is how we all look at things, lovely landscape, beautiful landscapes, and they all go inside and are simply treasured into the memory house. Of course, we also use cameras nowadays to preserve them, actually to forget them. So after the first pictures, they are very nice and they are kept in albums or kept nowadays in computers and they are forgotten. But there is a place where they are not forgotten. And the essence of that experience is never forgotten. So that experience is what the spirit takes through all these forms. A look, a turn decides our ill-poised fate. Fate that hangs in the balance of a yes and no. One look this way or that way could change things. Thus, in the hour that most concerned her all, wandering unwarned by the slow surface mind, the heedless scout beneath her tenting lids admired indifferent beauty and cared not to wake her body's spirit to its king. So she just aimlessly just looking at, she least expected that I have not met the one destined fate face in so many great lineage of seers, kings, nor in the busy places, nor in the loud acts. She was not really expecting that here she is going to meet someone who is going to be her lover and king. And look at these marvelous lines. So might she have passed by on chance ignorant roads, missing the call of heaven, losing life's aim. So these lines are very powerful. Because normally when we use the word life's aim and things, we always think of big things. Can a chance meeting between two individuals be actually the catalyst for a lifelong change in both? Could be a means of finding a greater aim. It's beyond human comprehension, least of all when we are cabined within certain ideas of sacred and profane, good and bad, divine and undivine. And here Sri Aurobindo has these lines that if she wouldn't have turned that way and seen Satyavan, normally one would say, oh, you have not read this book, you don't know life's aim. Like that story where in a boat, three priests from different religions going along with the boatman. So one of them asked, have you read the Bible? Just to start a conversation. And the boatman said, no, sir. Oh, then 25% of your life is wasted. So another person asked, have you read the Gita? So difficult, sir. Where do I find time? And say, oh, 50% of your life is wasted. Have you read the Quran? Oh, no way. It's written in Arabic. 75% of your life is wasted. Then the boatman asks, sir, do you know to swim? No. There is a hole in the boat. If you don't know to swim, 100% of your life is wasted. So you see how sometimes we only think that the divine action is in such big events. But divine can act, his plan can unfold in such events which are beyond. I mean, how Satprem turned to Mother and Sri Aurobindo. He had come here basically not as a seeker. He was here as a, again he had come for the, as a help to the governor. I am forgetting the exact position he had, either secretary or something. And he had not gone to meet or with that aspiration. One day, Mother came to meet the governor and Satprem was sitting there somewhere and suddenly he saw. Now imagine if Mother wouldn't have gone, he would have probably never sought her. And if Mother, when she went, he would have been inside, he may have never seen. And suddenly he saw. And the interesting part is, first reactions were of revolt. Divine can create all kinds of reactions in people. But behind that revolt was something which attracted, which charmed him, touched him. And he became the instrument for this wonderful agenda. So how these chance, seeming chance events can open doors to a greater destiny. So might she have passed by on chance, ignorant roads, missing the call of heaven, losing life's aim. But the God touched in time her conscious soul, her vision settled, caught, and all was changed. Very few such powerful lines where in one line Sri Aurobindo packs a whole world. Look at this line. Her vision settled, caught, and all was changed. Almost reminds one of those lines about Julius Caesar. He came, he saw, he conquered. You know, in three terse lines, as if a whole world is summarized of Caesar's grandiose image, his regality, his strength, his courage, his power. I mean, everything is packed in those three lines. He came, he saw, he conquered. So here it's like her vision settled, caught, and all was changed. She not only saw Satyavan, something suddenly used that sight to put them together and everything was changed. Her mind at first dwelt in ideal dreams. Now look at this change. Those intimate transmuters of earth signs that make known things a hint of unseen spheres, and saw in him the genius of the spot. How love works. There is an ideal image which people have in their mind. It imposes that image on the person. It may or may not be true, but this is how love works. So see, her mind suddenly imposes that image and she feels in him the genius on the spot. She has not even met. She has not had a hello. She had not asked him, do you know things? Nothing. But something within her spots and gives a feeling, oh, he's the one, the ideal. Dreams. A symbol figure standing mid earth scenes, a king of life outlined in delicate air. Yet this was but a moment's reverie. First the mind tunes itself and feels, here is somebody who is a king, who is a genius, who is wonderful. But that's not enough. That's an admiration. Now her heart is caught. For suddenly her heart looked out at him. So many things can look out. And we can look at people, situations with these eyes. We can look at people and situations with the mind. We can look at people and situations with the heart. We can look at people and situations from the soul. Now her mind has seen and then her heart. The passionate seeing used thought cannot match. The sight of the heart is a much surer sight. And Sri Aurobindo at one place says, even if it errs, it is better to follow it. At one place he says that. Because the heart has a knowledge which the mind cannot fathom. The mind will always calculate, try to think, weigh pros, cons, good, bad. The heart cuts through all these layers and settles. Now, outwardly, it may not be right, good, practical, but the heart knows. And if even a mistake there leads one on the path. But here, of course, Savitri has not made a mistake. Of course, worldly point of view, she made a mistake. That's what the queen will tell her, that you have just given your heart to somebody who, you know, is going to die. The passionate seeing used thought cannot match and knew one nearer than its own close strings. All in a moment was surprised and seized, all in inconscient ecstasy him wrapped, or under imagination's colored lids held up in a large mirror air of dream, broke forth in flame to recreate the world, and in that flame to new things she was born. In one moment it was done. She saw suddenly, her mind suddenly felt this is the ideal, and her heart was caught in the flame of love, and in that one moment everything was changed. There was no why, there was no how, it was done. A mystic, then she experiences, after that vision, she experiences something fluttering within the heart. A mystic tumult from her depths arose, hailed, smitten erect like one who dreamed at ease. Life ran to gaze from every gate of sense. What beautiful description. Love is the one power that puts us out of ourselves, self. That's why it is the most important catalyst of change. Mother says love, even human love has that power to bring us out of the ego. No other power can bring a human being out of the ego than love. Because suddenly life runs out of every gate of sense. One no more thinks of oneself, but thinks of the object of love, or the joy of love, or the beatitude of love. Savitri is experiencing it. Now the beauty is it can still apply even to the symbol. And it applies very beautifully. So we know that the bhakta seeks for the divine and there is a joy when he finds the divine. But it seems that Sri Aurobindo has said, the divine also takes joy in the bhakta. So what would be the state of the divine, divine mother, when she suddenly finds one of her flock of sheep, as the Bible puts it. Oh, here I have found this child who has longed for me, who has been hiding, who is here far away. And suddenly everything in her rushes to greet him. So beautifully the symbol applies. At one level the human, at the same time the divine mother leaning to the soul of earth. And the moment she finds him, divine rejoices infinite times more. This Shubhinda's word, that the divine takes much greater joy in the bhakta. That's why nothing is denied to him. In synthesis ends with that. Nothing, all ifs and buts of the human tongue fall away. Nothing is denied to the God lover, because he is the very self of the beloved. What a great testimony of spiritual truth. So we can take it in this way, that the divine mother looks at this soul entangled in the forest like a little bird, looking at heaven, looking at earth, and she finds one of her lost child. He is the one who has to do this work, and love flows. Love is not just, you know, our mind ignorantly thinks love is about romance and man and a woman. This is ignorance. But they, even in that ignorance, there is a deeper play. And Sri Aurobindo brings that deeper play, the play of the one from whom loves come and reaches out to the one. So here is that experience. Life ran to gaze from every gate of sense. Again, when we must have experienced it in villages, when the calves come back, and in the evenings when they come to the mother cow, and it's a scene worth seeing. How the cow licks and smells, and you know, if she had arms, she would just embrace. She cannot do it. But without that, she does it with such love. Human beings don't do it like that. When children come, not all, I mean, but first thing is sit down for tuition. What naughtiness have you did? Show me the report card. But look at love. When the calf comes back, she is so happy and thrilled that my calf has come back. There's a famous story of Sri Ramakrishna about it. That how do you get the cow? So he says, nothing. You take the calf along and the cow will follow. So, because she is drawn towards that. So, look at these lines. The divine mother is drawn towards the soul. We are all like her children. We are all like Satyavan. She is searching for us. And she doesn't leave any stone unturned. Even we are hiding in the remotest corners of the universe, she will find us. And when she will find us, we will feel some joy. But she will feel an infinite joy. Because she has found us. And she will rush through every sense to greet us and take us in her arms. We may realize or not realize, that is our foolishness, but Satyavan does realize. Thoughts indistinct and glad in moon-mist heavens, feelings as when a universe takes birth. What a image of love, experience of love. This is love. Even at a human level, something of that, as if life is newborn. The Lord is not just Bholenath, he is also Krishna, the all-beautiful. He is two in one, Shiva and Krishna. So depending on which angle, we can look at him. Look at this. Feelings as when a universe takes birth. So if you want to know what was the first experience of God when the universe was born, in the act of love, one knows it. Of course, not just ordinary love. Swept through the turmoil of a bosom space, invaded by a swarm of golden gods, arising to a hymn of wonders, priests, her soul flung wide its doors to this new sun. So love brooks no barrier. It opens to all doors, greets from every sense, accepts unconditionally, without any ifs and buts and calculations. This highest love can be experienced only in the relation of the soul with the Divine Mother. At a human level, something of its reflected or distorted glimpse does come, because love is love, however distorted it is, because that is its origin. The mother spoke of love in, that's a beautiful message she gave after reading some lines of Savitri. Love is not sexual intercourse. Love is not heart, the heart's hunger for affection. Love is a mighty vibration coming from the one and going to the one in another body and being. And only the very pure and strong can receive it and express it. So Savitri has that. So she can express it. Otherwise, there are so many reservations. Love is fine, but is it okay? Is it practical? Is it right? Is it fine? All ifs and buts the mind will bring. But the experience of love, when it comes in all its force, majesty and truth, is like a triumphal fire marching in the human night. It suddenly lights up everything with joy and beatitude. So here, that is the experience. Her soul flung wide its doors to this new sun. An alchemy worked, the transmutation came. The missioned face had wrought the master spell. So it was only a catalyst, and the spell was laid, the spell of love which can change everything. In the nameless light of two approaching eyes, a swift and fated turning of her days appeared and stressed to a gleam of unknown worlds. Then trembling with the mystic shock, her heart moved in her breast and cried out like a bird who hears his mate upon a neighboring bough. So like two birds, they call each other in the call of love. Similarly, there was a response, and this response needed not a fixed words, fixed sentences, dialogues, formulas, nothing, no questions asked. Suddenly, there was a total giving in that one moment. Right now is the Savitri's being shown, because women are the one who can love so completely. Shurbindo, when he was asked about 29th March, when mother saw him, mother has of course recorded in a diary what she experienced. But when Shurbindo was asked, what did you see? He says, for the first time I saw in her the complete surrender right down to the most material cells. That's how she met him. Once she knew it is him, she asked nothing. She just gave herself completely. Everything was sealed in that one moment. And then he knew that the moment has come for the divine life to be established on earth. Now, outwardly, we may look at it like, again, Savitri Satyavan, oh, this is human. No, it is not human love. Human beings are being made instruments of a love which rarely takes place in human heart. And if that love is born, regardless of the outer circumstances, it has the power to change things. That's what is being revealed through these mystical experiences. Hooves trampling fast, wheels largely stumbling ceased. The chariot stood like an arrested wind. Suddenly she stands, looking at that face coming out of the background. Here is the one. And the whole chariot, she puts brakes, pulls the reins, and stumbling. Look at the precise detail. Naturally, if suddenly there is an arrest of the chariot, it won't be a slow. There is a stumbling speed. And it stands. And this would apply also to the chariot of the body. And Satyavan. Now, this is what Savitri. What about Satyavan? And Satyavan looked out from his soul's doors. I mean, only the Lord can lift everything to its highest, sublimest, purest, divinest levels. Satyavan is looking out at her, not that, oh, she's a queen, good. Nothing. He's seen from the soul's eyes. This is the only truth. At one place, Shurbindo says, in one of his aphorisms, only that which your soul has seen and experienced is true. All the rest is prejudice, opinion, biases. Whatever be the external understanding of human life, what the soul has seen is true. What it has felt as the will of the divine is true. Of course, it needs a tremendous inner development and sincerity. It goes without saying. But when that experience happens, it breaks all barriers. And Satyavan looked out from his soul's doors and felt the enchantment of a liquid voice. He is not even, you know, hearing what she is saying. She is going beyond words, sounds. Her voice carries to him the message of sweetness, of some magical, mystical space. He suddenly is transported by her voice. Fill his youth's purple ambience and endured the haunting miracle of a perfect face. So there is nothing like a perfect face, but love weaves a perfect face. That's the miracle of love. That's the magic of love. Only, unfortunately, it cannot endure. This is what Sri Aurobindo in one of his poems, of course, first he says in Synthesis of Yoga, love seeks for two things, intensity of union and the eternity of union. It's very difficult. After the intensity, it fades away. And if it endures for eternity, the intensity fades away. It's like a burden. But it seeks for these two things. And even in human nature, it seeks these two things. That's how he says. And it's not possible unless it's possible only in the soul's experience of the divine. It's not possible otherwise. With the divine, it grows. That's the beauty of the divine love. There is an intensity which keeps building and becomes more and more closer, more and more intimate, because he is infinite. But when the love is only moving in finite realms, it's not possible, unless one loves from that depth. And there is a poem of Sri Aurobindo, Immortal Love, where at a human level, it's possible to love from those soul depths. So he goes step by step, he says, oh woman, if I would have loved you only for your face and your lovely hair, my love would cease to be. Then he says, if I would have loved you for your voice and your carelessness and joyousness, maybe it'll go a little further, but again it is bound to cease. Or if I loved you for the beautiful qualities in your heart, your deliberate truth, the love in your heart, time might pursue, might reach. I may be able to go further, but still there is a possibility it may cease. But I have loved thee for myself indeed, and with myself have snared. I have not snared myself with somebody else. There is no somebody else. My own another aspect I have betrothed to that, and with myself have snared. Time I exceed, and am change I exceed, and am for time prepared. So whatever may happen to your body, you may grow old, you may, your voice, which is so beautiful now, may become hoarse with age, your qualities with dementia, all these things go into the background. But I will continue to love, because that's the spirit of love. A nice little story where a man used to visit his wife who was suffering from dementia. And every day he would go carrying breakfast, some lunch, looking after her for years on years. So the nurse once remarked, "You know, do you know that she doesn't recognize you at all?" He said, "Yes, I know that." Then she wanted to clarify, "I mean, you can send it with somebody. It doesn't matter to her. It makes no difference to her. You may go, somebody else may go. It's the same to her." Very practical advice. Because she doesn't recognize you. She doesn't know you anymore. So the reply of the old man is beautiful. He says, "Yes, but I know her and I recognize her." This is love. Nothing is coming back in return. And yet there is love. Even at human level, love can reach those heights. Amazing heights. Just because of the spiritual background. Because the soul stepping out. Okay, let me not. It's a favorite topic. But the Lord has put so much of beauty and joy in it. And suffered a dream. The haunting miracle of a perfect face, mastered by the honey of a strange flower mouth, drawn to soul spaces opening round a brow, he turned to the vision like a sea to the moon and suffered a dream of beauty and of change. How beautiful. Such a suffering is such a welcome suffering. This is the suffering of love. Suffered a change of beauty, such beauty that he cannot bear, cannot tolerate, that suffering, an ecstasy, which now he wants to express, but he has no means right now. The means are inadequate to express the ecstasy that he is experiencing, hence the suffering. So that suffering when you love and you cannot express love is an immense suffering. So here Satyavan is undergoing that change and suffered a dream of beauty and of change, discovered the aureole round a mortal's head, adored a new divinity in things. He had never known this Godhead. He had known only God in the temple, God in this devata, that devi and puja. All this he had known. The sun, the sky, the sea. But here is a mortal. And how he is experiencing that there is divinity in that. He wants to worship. It's a very beautiful... it's of course Shelley's famous line that I cannot give you what men call love. But what I can give you is the worship, distant worship of a moth to the star. And when Sri Aurobindo was asked, he said, "Yes, it is." These lines describe the psychic love. This is the nature of psychic love. It worships. It doesn't stop. It doesn't calculate. What am I getting in return? Doesn't matter. Nothing. But still it worships. That was what was shown in Indian thought as in the concept of sati. Because only women were capable. Of course, there should have been some satas. I mean, men, but men only sataud. So, you know. But sati, the truth. She lived by the truth of that one moment when she loved and gave herself to this man. And however he was, whatever he was, of course, that truth has to change now because life changed and men took advantage of it. But she lived by that one moment. And because of that power in her bosom, she could ascend to the greatest heavens. Even the gods became bond slaves because of the power of that love inside a woman's heart. So here they are experiencing that. His life was taken, his self-bound nature foundered as in fire. Normally our nature is bound within a small circle. Suddenly it started experiencing a fire that will change him forever. His life was taken into another's life. These splendid, lonely idols of his brain fell prostrate from their bright insufficiencies. All the concepts, percepts, things great, beautiful, everything suddenly fell and fell down at the feet of love. That's why, see, who could have the power to challenge in a duet and even shake for a while and even conquer Shiva, the ascetic of ascetics, the god of love? If you look at it from one side, he destroyed him, but it's also true that he succeeded. That's how Shiva came out, and eventually he married Parvati, because only he had, all the gods failed. And in spite of all his tapasya, accumulation of that, yet love could move his heart. That is the power of love. And he is not the highest love. Kamdev is love at the vital plane. And yet he had that power. As at the touch of a new infinite, to worship a godhead greater than their own, an unknown, imperious force drew him to her. Now it was beyond him. This force was like imperious, compelling. Marveling, he came across the golden sword. Gaze met close gaze and clung in sight's embrace. Look at this line. Before there is a physical embrace, there is a sight's embrace. He comes, he sees that here is an arrested chariot. He walks towards her. They come, there is a closer gaze, and they weave affinity in that gaze. A visage was there, noble and great and calm. Inside Savitri, all the tumult is going on. But here, when he looks at her face, noble and great and calm. As if encircled by a halo of thought, a span, an arch of meditating light. As though some secret nimbus half was seen, her inner vision still remembering new. A forehead that wore the crown of all her past. Savitri looks at him and she realizes, oh, here is the one. All my past, he is the master, he is the lord, he is the king. For him, my life is made. Two eyes, her constant and eternal stars. Comrade and sovereign eyes that claimed her soul, lids known through many lives, large frames of love, he met in her regard, his future's case. So it was not just one life drama, and we see that in Shurbinde and the mother also, that many lives they have come together, worked for this great, but it doesn't mean they were always linked in a certain frame of relationship. That is our human mind, that, you know, we must put frames. But frames may not be there at all. Frames may mean nothing. Krishna's consort before, when he was a child, is Radha, no frame. Mahabharata, Draupadi, no frame. He called her only Sakhi, a friend. And yet she was his consort. She was Kali's avatar, who had come to do Krishna's work. Without her, his work would have never been complete. So they have known each other in many lives, whether they were together, living in a physical frame of reference or not, that was not important. A promise and a presence and a fire saw an embodiment of aeonic dreams, a mystery of the rapture for which all yearns in this world of brief mortality, made in material shape, his very own. World yearns for this one moment, one experience, one moment of true love. And for one moment, they both experience it in a material shape. That's why perhaps someone has said so beautifully, it is better to have loved and lost than not have loved at all. Because it doesn't matter, the loss is not important. The experience is important because that experience is a nourisher of the soul. It's the greatest hope giver, joy giver to the soul. The golden figure given to his grasp, hid in its breast the key of all his aims. Suddenly this golden figure, this golden godhead, love has come. And the feeling is, everything that I have ever wanted in life is this. As if through this, everything else I can achieve. A spell to bring the immortals bliss on earth. To mate with heaven's truth, our mortal thought. To lift earth hearts nearer the eternal sun. This is the magic of love. That's why it is such a great force. And when people try to stop it by a mental logic, it doesn't work. It has to find its own, within itself, its own recourse. When Sri Aurobindo and the mother advised this, I mean, advised the wrong word, revealed this, that people often, you know, oh, love, this is so bad, and you know, logic, this, see, this is not practical, it doesn't work like that. Love is such a tremendous force. So the only recourse is, keep purifying that energy, keep purifying that energy, till it touches its own depth. When mother was asked, when we turn to the divine, we have to abandon all human love. So what do we do if there is human love in our life? Or if it comes our way? The word is, if human love comes our way. So mother says, ah, go through it. Then she says, it is the best preparation for yoga. So normally we would think best preparation for yoga means it will bring disappointment, disillusionment. So ultimately one will realize one has to turn to the divine. Yes, that is one part of it. But she reveals a much greater truth. She says, people take one of the two. Many times people discard that love. He says, then very often one becomes harsh and cruel inside. And the very possibility of love is gone. And sometimes it takes centuries just to recover that possibility. So what is the other way? She says, you must learn to love in the true way, unselfishly, without expectation, without desire, without this, that, everything. So what will happen, mother, if you do that? She says, if you really do it sincerely, after a while you will touch the core of divine love, which is in everything. What a beautiful path, what a wide path, what an unimaginable way. That if one does it, one touches that core which is in all things, which is divine love. All love comes from there. It's disfigured, distorted in the human consciousness. And mother at one place says that in every human relation, there is an ingot of gold. So very often when people are unhappy, they discard everything. They throw the baby with the bathwater. She says, instead you must purify, so that pure ingot of gold you must preserve. It's important. It's sacred. That's why things came. Otherwise, when people do it just like that, discard, then the experience repeats and it goes ad infinitum. So she says that preserve that pure ingot. It is the divine blessing. But yes, all the distortions must go, because without that, life will be a mess and the experience will be a mess. To lift earth hearts nearer the eternal sun, that is the task of love. For a moment, it suddenly gives hope and joy. In these great spirits now incarnate here, love brought down power out of eternity to make of life his new undying base. So of course, Savitri and Satyavan are no ordinary mortals. They are incarnations of conscious forces who have come to reveal something, to do something. And love suddenly comes to reveal the meaning of life. Love brought down power out of eternity to make of life his new undying base. His passion surged a wave from fathomless deeps. It leaped to earth from far forgotten heights, but kept its nature of infinity. So beautiful, this one-liner. It comes from far forgotten heights, but love comes from the infinite. And that's why of all the forces upon earth, love is most difficult to satisfy. This is what we find in Savitri, Canto 2, Book 1, Canto 2. That this, the burning test of the Godhead in his parts, that here the dissatisfied God here could dwell. Because why he could dwell in Savitri? Because here he met his own eternity. There was such a vastness, strength, as we have seen, you need a great strength and purity. Otherwise it's dissatisfied. Because it comes from the infinite and it's not satisfied till it finds infinity and eternity. So we'll stop here. Continue tomorrow.